Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading today is from the book of Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name, and the mouth of the Lord will give, that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over her bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thank you. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing, there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. In 1867, while still a very young man, John Muir had an accident with a cutting tool and blinded himself in one eye. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to go into any gory details here. A few hours later, without explanation, his uninjured eye stopped working also, plunging him into near total darkness. He spent 6 weeks recuperating, and although doctors had told him he would likely never see again, he did in fact regain his sight. Looking back on the experience, Muir said he felt his eyes had been opened to inner beauty, and that was when he decided to dedicate himself to studying nature. As we know, John Muir went on to become one of the great visionaries of the 20th century. His work led to the creation of our country's national parks and the organization the Sierra Club, all at a time when most people had never heard of words like conservation or the environment. More than that, his writings changed the way many of us see and experience the world. Muir's ability to delight in the wonders of creation and to find in them a revelation of the holy was both revolutionary and contagious. And generations of naturalists, writers, and just plain nature lovers will be forever in his debt. It is also important to note that Muir did have his blind spots. For most of his life, he was unwilling to recognize the native peoples of this land and their history of tending and shaping it, preferring instead to see California at its best as an untouched wilderness. Now, obviously, a full analysis of John Muir's role in the racism that has long cast a shadow over the environmental movement is really not going to be the subject of my sermon. But speaking for myself and where I am right now, I find it necessary and helpful to acknowledge his limitations and lament his prejudices. The point is definitely not to undermine the great causes that he championed, quite the opposite, actually. Although it can be difficult, we need to practice looking squarely and honestly at the ways that racism has shaped so many of our country's institutions, both in order not to repeat the past mistakes, but also to create a better, more inclusive future. Going back to his temporary blindness, to me, the most striking thing about that experience of John Muir's is that it helped him recognize an entirely different kind of vision, a way of perceiving the world that gives greater significance to our encounters. When Muir reported that his eyes had been opened to an inner beauty, he meant that he could look on those same trees, rocks, or streams that he had seen many times before and now see them in an entirely new light. This inner vision revealed to him how connected all of us are to nature and how connected nature is to the divine. He had moments of insight that we can only call visions in the mystical sense of the word, such as when he said that between every two pines is a door leading to a new life. Most of us never see this door, even if sometimes we sense it, but Muir did. This gets us close to the heart of what an epiphany is, a moment of clarity, when you see and understand things in a new and revelatory way. We hear an echo of this in today's psalm and those beautiful lines, "For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light." For Christians, to speak of God's light is ultimately to speak of Christ. We say that plainly in our creed, God from God, light from light. and more poetically in the prologue to John's Gospel, which asserts that Christ's life force is the light of humanity, and goes on to affirm, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. The season of Epiphany has a special focus on how the manifestation of the light of Christ in the person of Jesus of Nazareth helps us to see the whole world in a new way. Indeed, to see light by and through his light. The stories we hear during this season are signs. They are meant to point beyond themselves in order to help us, the listeners, see the reality beneath the reality. Jesus performs healings, exorcisms, and miracles, but not just so that we can be impressed by how great Jesus is. We're meant to dig deeper than that, to really look at what these stories are saying about the nature of God, and then to ask ourselves how we can bring more of that much-needed light and life into the world. Today's gospel passage is a memorable, funny, pointed story about the glory of the Lord being revealed in the most everyday of circumstances. It is simultaneously one of the most human stories about Jesus that we have, and also a story that reveals the extravagant, profligate nature of God's love. The human side of this story is easy to relate to. How many of you have had experiences like this with your mother? Or perhaps you have been the mom or dad pushing your reluctant child to pitch in, help out, maybe even show off a little. I personally would have to say yes to both questions. I cannot count the number of times my mom has nudged me to do something nice for someone else, or pushed me to step up to some challenge, or reminded me of the responsibilities that come along with whatever gifts and talents she thinks I possess. To be honest, she is still doing it now that I'm in my 50s, and I have had 2 decades to practice those same skills on my children. There's so much that goes unsaid between mother and child in this passage today, and I'm always tempted to fill in the gaps. When Jesus says, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me?" I can almost hear Mary snapping back, "Don't take that tone with me, young man." He doesn't want to get involved in all this wedding drama. She doesn't want her friends or family, whoever the wedding hosts were, to be embarrassed. Did he roll his eyes at his mom for dragging him into it? Maybe. But he also listened to her and did what she was hinting he should do, a very broad hint, without either of them ever having to say explicitly exactly what that was. It's delightful how this story sheds a human light on the relationship between Jesus and his mother. And looking deeper, it also sheds light on the kind of life God wants us to have, the kind of life that Jesus embodies. It might have seemed a little silly to think that Jesus would perform this great miracle to save people from a minor inconvenience or embarrassment. As I was thinking about analogies for that, I thought it's like asking this fairy tale dragon to light birthday candles, or asking a virtuoso to play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. But once Jesus rolls up his sleeves, what tremendous blessings flow. There is more and better wine than anybody had any right or reason to expect. It is Psalm 36 come to life. They feast upon the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your delights. Truly, the actions of Jesus in this story reveal how much God cares for us, not in an abstract way, but in an embodied, particular, deeply personal, and intimate way. What God desires for us in this life, as St. Paul puts it, is more than we can ask or imagine. So what if we were to see all of life through this lens of abundance, generosity, and blessing? That seems to me the great challenge of this season, to do what the psalmist does, and in God's light to see light wherever we look and whatever may be happening in the world around us. So often, we only see what we're looking for. God wants us to see so much more, to see what God is looking for, and indeed finds in each and every one of us, infinitely precious lives filled with grace upon grace. It's true that with our limited human perspectives, we will never overcome all of our blind spots, but we can move in the direction of light. And especially in times when it's easy to get focused on the darkness that seems to be encroaching, we need to remember the words of Martin Luther King Jr. "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." When our hearts are turned toward the light and our eyes are opened to an inner beauty, we begin to see beauty everywhere. Illumined by word and sacrament, we, the body of Christ, can and do shine with his radiance. May we all catch glimpses of that radiance in one another and in the world God created and loves, today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
Amen. Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
We pray for all your faithful people and those who are called to lead, that we may walk in your way of love and manifest your light to the world. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for all nations of the world, that those in authority will work toward peace and equity for all their people. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for people everywhere, that their lives may be full, that their families may be secure, and that their hearts may be filled with your peace. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for the city of Davis and for Yolo County, that neighbors care for neighbors, creating a truly loving community for all. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for those who are suffering in ways that are known or hidden to us. We pray for those who struggle mightily in this life and for those whose light is dimming. We pray for those who are ill and those who care for them. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list.
Krista, Rob, and the people of St. John's.
May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for all those who have been called into eternal life with you, and thank you for the light they brought to the world. May light perpetual shine upon them, Lord.
And may their memories be a blessing. Gracious and loving God, we come before you with no gifts but ourselves. Accept and receive our lives so that we may be manifestations of your presence. We ask that you let the light of your Spirit shine within and among us, so that we may share in the mystery of your purpose of blessing for all creation, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. You may be seated for the announcements. Our yellow sheet is full again, and so I do commend it to you, ask that you'll consider taking it home. I hope that you're getting our regular emails that have these announcements and sometimes even more, and also have links so that if you want to go out and find more, you're able to do that online. What I want to make sure, I hope most of you or all of you who are here today know, that right after this service, we're having a presentation, and that is to learn more about our wonderful restoration project for the stained glass. I kept trying to think of some way to incorporate that into my sermon, because it is certainly a beautiful light in our sanctuary, and we're hoping that lots of people will come learn about how that work was completed. In just a few days, on Wednesday evening, there's lots of information in here about it, but there's a reception. Bishop Megan will be here We'll have evening prayer, and also she is receiving Randy's orders, which means he was ordained in a different denomination, but now he will be officially an Episcopal priest. So I hope lots of people will turn out for that. It's very exciting. And then next Sunday, we have our annual meeting, and there's only the 10 o'clock service. And then just like if you go out today after church, the coffee hour stuff will be in the narthex so that you can come right back in for the 11:30 presentation by Ariana. But if you, the same thing will happen next Sunday after the 10 o'clock service. The food will be right there for you to grab something, and then we'll start annual meeting back here in this building, and so you don't have to go out into the cold. And we're having Portia Hopkins, who many of you know because of her work at the Belfry. She will be speaking at our annual meeting, so you will not want to miss that. Lots and lots of other things, ways that you can become active, participate in various projects we have going on. Tomorrow, some of us will be out at the ranch in Esparto and planting trees, and I would love to see more of you out there. If you don't know if you're up for planting trees, just come on out and join us, and we'll find something for you to do, or you can just enjoy the fellowship. But if you don't tell me that you're coming, there might not be enough food. So anyway, lots more in here. I won't go through all of it. There is also information about how to help the fire victims in Southern California. So I know you'll want to look at that. And we had two celebrations and milestones. They were both from Lynn. Is that correct?
Yep.
So Lynn is not here this morning, but she wanted to let us know that she has a birthday today and a big wedding anniversary coming up, I think tomorrow, yep, early in the week. Are there other celebrations and milestones, Maria? Great, thank you. For those who couldn't quite hear that, I mentioned that the food, the goodies after church next Sunday will be in the narthex, but I didn't say who's providing them. So Maria is asking for help with that, that hospitality. She does have a sign-up sheet. If you're around after the service, you can sign up or contact her for more information. Now, are there celebrations and milestones? Oh, yeah. I see lots of hands pointing in this direction.
Someone had a birthday last week.
Oh, someone, not James, not the dog. Oh, Carol. Carol must have had a birthday. Well, that's awesome. So we'll add Carol to our celebrations and milestones, along with Lynn, and that is a good reason for us to turn to page 6 and say our prayer together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we have our pattern right now for communion of coming up to the center aisle and choosing one of the two stations. Both of them will have gluten-free bread only, so you don't have to worry about that. You can cross your arms if you would prefer to receive just a blessing instead of communion. You can also let us know if you need us to bring communion to you. On this side is intinction, where I dip the bread into the wine, and on this side, the bread and the chalice are separate, but everyone is welcome to come forward to receive communion. We have, I see in the back, our ushers are signaling that they have goodie bags, welcome bags, so if you're new here and you would like a little bag to provide some information and some treats, please raise your hand. We will not make you introduce yourselves, but we would love to provide this for you. So the ushers need to know who you are. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For in these last days you sent Jesus to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Christ, you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember Christ's death, we proclaim Christ's resurrection, we await Christ's coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Savior of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through whom we are acceptable to you, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with blessed Martin and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your children, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The people of God. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you've given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent his Son to take our nature upon him, bless you in this holy season, scatter the darkness of sin, and brighten your heart with the light of his holiness. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
To love and serve the Lord.